What is it? Rova me'oras ma'asin hein. Therefore, there is no suffix. For suffix, I would make a bracha too, he says. But there is no suffix either. Therefore, he didn't want to make a bracha. Look at Rashi.
Rabbi Amar, Safik Devarim by Bracha. Right, but Safik Devarim requires a Bracha. Dumaya feel the Safik Lohave. And by Dumaya, it's not even a Safik by there. El Chumra be Alma, the Rabbi Amar, it's master, and rather just a general Chumra.
What is he telling you? He says, why, but Safik Bracha's Lahokil? He says, but not when the Rabbanan make a Safik. When the Rabbanan intended to do something misafik, it's not a Safik, it's a din the Rabbanan. When you have a Safik, you don't remember whether you made a brocha. You had a piece of pizza, you were talking to your friend. Right? And you're busy talking something, and you find yourself eating the pizza, you don't remember we made a bracha or not. The suffix brachas, you shum suffix, you don't make a bracha. Neither the daraisa, you don't remember whether you benched or not. That's the birch the mazon, the daraisa, you have to make a bracha, you have to bench again. But it's an abonam, we don't make a bracha. So he says, that's not true, that's your sfeikis. When the Rabbanan have a suffix, and they tell you Mishum Suffik to do something, it's a Vadai, it's not a Suffik. The Suffik merely is what initiated their concern. But when they responded B'tohos Vadai, not B'tohos Suffik. They didn't say, well, maybe you need a Borcha. And maybe you need a Borcha, maybe I don't need a Borcha. Therefore, it's always a Takonas Chachomim. The Chum is always a Vadai, it's never a Suffik. This is what I said to you. Yeah, this little Hezbollah is really a chuvus in Hilchos Brachos in the big Rambams, so-called Shulzige Rambam. Now there were later and better editions, but that was the one. That's the one that Achosin got as a batana from his father-in-law, Shas with Rambam. Shas Rambam and Shulchan Aruch was the standard gift. The Rambam, Shulchan the Rambam, is 1.5 times the size of a Vilna Shas. It's a major cause of hernias. If someone makes a mistake, it takes out two of them. But in the back, the wonderful thing, in the back of each section of the Rambam, they included the Tshuvas of Rambam. That's why I saw this Hezbollah. We make that simple Hezbollah. When the Sufik, the Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan made a Tekon of a Sufik, it's never a Sufik. It's always a Vadai. He used the Lashon, Shechai Harei Takonehi. It's a Takonehi.
Rabbi, yeah. What is the difference between the loophole in what the Rabbi just said of those rabbis in Yesha who are saying if they had the data to stay, even though they really were going back to their family and their job, versus what we said previously about Maser and...
That's not a loophole.
No, that's not...
That's Amaratzis.
But to them, they must be thinking it's a loophole. No, they're prosecuting.
But you can't make your own loopholes. The loophole of going about Rias Pleiabai is that's a loophole of what you're seeing now. That's not a loophole. I made a hole in the loop.
So how are they convincing themselves? They sit and they learn all day. How are they? They are the rabbanim of the community. How are they convincing themselves that it's permissible?
Which one?
The half day.
Oh, that's back. You want to know? I mean, I'm not mechuyu to defend Amaratzis, but there's a don lekavshus. There's a basis. The basis is not Amaratzis, but apikursis.
Right.
Okay. Why? They are protesting the takone. They're protesting chutzlo, that's why you observe 2 days. Why? It's no longer a sofik. When was it a sofik? When we were Kaddish, Alpi Rio, then you had a sofik, but a Sanhedrin. That time is, even if you're Baheri, you're born a Mesa Mikdash, we'll have no sfeikas. One push on your button will send out the message, right, to 100 million laptops. That all the Hasidim have, but it's a laptop. They keep it on the lap so no one can see it. No dimming. They're basically what the Rabbanim were worried about. Osel Zuzuli Bay. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "What do we do now? We have no Apiari anymore. We only do it now by calculation from Shmuel. And from Shmuel HaKotam, who gave us the calculations, and we your Shamus in Shul calls out, I don't know if your Shul, but my Shul they do, your Shul calls out, the Molad will be so on and so forth, and then the Chazan gets up and says that Chode there will be on Yom HaRavi. Yomarvi, Yomachamishi, who the heck made him into a Sanhedrin? Right? The answer is, we don't do it anymore on Sanhedrin. So if you know already, why are you playing games? So Rabbi Yochanan asked the question. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Meheri Yibon HaMeis HaMikdash. Right? And we'll go back to Alpiriya. Therefore, I want to keep it going. You see, there's room. I said, for an apikoros, to question the whole mahalach of the Gemara, but Gemara took care of all that. Gemara was also so smart to know that we don't have a sofik b'zmanazeh. Yet we do it because minig was saying of Yodeno, and minig is aloche.
What is the? Is it a similar basis for the loose fitting pants for women that it's not begedish?
The what?
The loose fitting pants. Did they say it's not begedish?
Let's see how we accomplish that.
So
what you're really asking is, can a woman light the menorah, right, and serve supper from the mai while wearing loose-fitting pants? How did you tie that all together?
No, because if we're saying the rabbanim of that area, I'm trying to understand. It's the same rabbanim that are giving the heter there, isn't it? No, it's not.
The issue of wearing pants is that a woman is considered to be improper dress, whether they're loose fitting or not loose fitting. The fact that nowadays the girls wear pants that fit like a glove don't fit like pants.
Right? I'm talking only in Yesha.
That's a separate problem. But the fact that they're not supposed to wear pants, that seems to be pretty strong halacha. Not because they're more revealing, but there seems to be a malbush gever. So they're tighter nowadays, but the girls' slacks, right, are different. But the big yichus nowadays is that the girls' slacks are not different. They now no longer are slacks. Although what happened, they became pull-up stockings. You see what young people, how things have changed. 1, 2, 3. When you made a breach in what's considered to be our standard of etiquette, our standards of what's considered to be proper malbush, modest dress.
What I'm asking is, the women who are walking around in Gush Etzion with truly loose-fitting pants, is it Ama Artos? And they, on their own, decided that? Or they're taking that from Rabbanim that told them there was a heter for that?
I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that's against Halacha.
No.
It's clearly against Halacha.
At what point?
Halacha isn't based upon how revealing the pants are, how tight-fitting they are. That's some an ugly development nowadays. You walk down the street here, it's hard to walk down the streets anymore. People are wearing underwear, not wearing pants. Mamish underwear. The material even looks like underwear material. And what you see, if you look, what you see a naked woman walking whose skin is colored different than your skin. So it's colored pink. It's called a blue. Yeah. But it's, totally, there's only one way to get back tzniut in our community. Someone must invent a mirror that shows the backside also. If the mirror would look at the mirror, you see the back also. They never would dress that way. It's embarrassing, not embarrassing, plain unaesthetic. It's disgusting. Yeah. You can't underestimate the power of society. Society determines what's right and proper, not halacha. But we don't like what society has done to halacha. And it's a whole structure of tznius leading to kedusha, leading to moral behavior and so on and so forth. No one can tell me that a young lady wearing a proper dress is less attractive than a lady walking around in her underwear. You have to argue the point. It's everyone understands that. So why are they dressing the other way? Why? Because some pervert in Paris decided that's proper dress. Yeah.
If every single woman in the entire world...
I'm sorry?
If everyone wore pants, if every woman wore pants, would it still be considered levush gever?
Because the fact that women would not wear
men's
pants...
That's not the issue. They're wrong there. I mean, I could see someone arguing that if my slacks are pink or pink with green stripes, right, that they're surely not malbush gever. Men don't wear such things. That would not be understood. The definition of tznius is that a woman is not supposed to show psikas regel, not to show legs apart. Legs apart, right? They're for reasons that have been established over 1,000 years of custom, right? That's considered to be immodest. I mean, ad hayom, you won't find even the modern girls sitting with their legs spread apart. Someone asks Ima, why a man will sit that way and a woman shouldn't sit that way? Just think back among the goyim. Remember, we were the source of all morals and ethics in the world. You realize that a lady wouldn't ride a horse astride, rode a horse like a lady? With both legs on the same side. No, we didn't make that halacha. The goyim. That was considered to be immodest for a woman to sit on a horse like a man. we become inured to violations of our standards because everybody does it. Now, in my community, there are women who don't cover their hair. There are women who wear slacks. I want you to know their observance of Taas HaMishpocha, their observance of Kashrus, is of the highest standard. They fell prey to societal standards. Their mothers already didn't cover their hair. And you know, all of many tshuvas are covering their hair. The Aruch HaShulchan finally had to give in and say, okay, you're supposed to cover your hair, but if you don't, you can still daven and make a bracha in their presence. It's no longer ervo, because ervo is a psychological status. And this society has removed that psychological status. We recognize that. That doesn't mean it's mutal. We don't want to join their standard. We want them to join our standard. With aloha, it's because of concept of elbow, of nakedness. Nakedness is not. Okay. Today seems to be a good day, Hashem, dealing with fundamentals. It's the kind of review that important to have, especially we didn't have it the first time. So. Okay. Now comes the next halacha. Also, one that goes counter to the societal definition of ethical behavior. Do I have to worry because you have a dirty mind? And you judge people not the kapschus. People always remember, yati dog, every don, call odom the kapschus. So why should I think that you don't want to light Hanukkah candles? And you have two entrances to your house and you live on the other side? I have to worry about that some fellow is going from the other side and will pass by and he'll have a thought in his mind, oh, this guy is not one of ours. But he has no middle outside. Whoever thought like that? But that is the basis of our societal ethics. That a person should behave in a way, v'yisim nikiyim me'ashem umi yisroel. V'yisim nikiyim me'ashem, that's easy. Because God knows. God knows the truth. Nikiyim yisroel, that's not so easy. Because they have dirty minds. Because they're not done with kapskos. That's what the Gemara is telling me here. Chosach Yeshua Beit Sochim.
Tsuchishteneros. A chetzer that has two doorway entrances requires two Chanukah candles there. Rabba lo amra ele mishtei ruchos. Rabba doesn't say this only when it's two sides, when it's east and west. Aba baruch achas, but if it's one side, if both entranceways are on the west side, lo tsara. You do not require two Chanukah candles. My time, what's the reason for this? Ilema mishum chashta. If you want to say the reason is because of chashta, because we worry about other people not.
If it's chashta the almo, what does it mean? You're worrying about strangers, not your townspeople. They come and they see a house with two doors. They're assuming two doors means two families. Therefore, if one door has a. So it's a mixed family. It's a mixed dwelling. There's a dati and a low dati in the house. Right? Elawad, if in the name also, right? If you're talking about the townspeople, they know who lives in the house. We're not talking about a town like New York, we're talking about a town like Europe. As my father, that's how we give the example always. Says he lived in a town, Kamenitz in Europe. He says, where you never had a horse and wagon in their town. Because if the horse was in the town, the wagon was in the next town. So everybody knows everybody. So if b'nei Moser, then even since Shnei Luchos, you don't need, no, there's no chshad, Everybody knows that, that it's one person living in a house with two doors. Ela what? Lo lo mishmuk shoda. It's a shoda de v'nei mosa. No. We're afraid that the townspeople. Why? The zin in the mechalfi b'hai l'chalfi b'hai. Why? They don't keep track. You think I know, I pass by your house every day, you think I know someone, give me a pencil, paper, draw me a description of the house. I pass by all that and don't pay attention. Therefore we're afraid of what? Even the B'nai Mosa. And the B'nai Mosa, they don't remember that last year they walked by on the left of the house, on the left side, and they saw a candle, they saw a menorah. And this time they changed, they were going someplace else, and they're going on the right side. And the thought occurs to them, oh, the guy didn't light the menorah this year. That alone is the reason that you should put two menorahs on either side. Look at that, look how it is. Lo lo mishum shodah b'nei mosa, who normally would know that you have a house with two doors, but don't know. The Messiah says it's not so. Reality is no one keeps track of what your house looks like, whether it has an entrance in front and the back. And sometimes they've been walking, they have no reason to go the other way, they've been going this way, and oh Hanukkah, they walk by, they don't see a menorah. They don't stop to think, maybe there's a menorah on the other side. That's enough. The fact that they had a momentary thought that this guy's a shagetz, he doesn't want to be mefarsim less. This great lesson that Rabbanan said, you must be mefarsim. V'amri keheche de b'hai pisrul adlik, b'hai pisrul amelo adlik. He doesn't have one here. It doesn't occur to them, he maybe lives someplace else. No. He didn't light here, means the other way. He doesn't want another door not lighting. Doesn't mean that he didn't light the other door. It means I don't have to think that maybe there's another door where he lights. So now the Gemara asks the question that you people have been asking. Who the heck cares what he thinks of me? Umino tembo de chashin l'chshad. Why would I worry about such a thing? Fella has a dirty mind, he thinks poorly of people, I'm thinking. Sanya, we see, we now are inferring, you can't say this was a tekode, because it didn't say so directly, but I'm assuming that this is a tekode. Why? No, Sanya?
Tanya, Amr Bishon, Bishul, Arba Dvarim, Amr Torah Laniach Peah B'Sof Sadeu. The four reasons the Torah said he should place Peah at the end of the harvest. Mipnei Gezel,
Aniyim,
because of stealing from the poor. Mipnei Bitul Aniyim, because of Mimavatel their time. Mipnei Achshad, because of the reason of Achshad. Mipnei Obat Techela, because of the pasuk that says they should.
Lo Sachaleb, Pas. Sotcho b'kutzrecho. You should not harvest the entire field. Loni v'ager tazos. Leave over for onion gear. So now the Gemara explains. What's Gezel Aniyim? Again, this Gezel Aniyim is what you call a haroma, but a legal haroma. He really did nothing wrong. He didn't do it much wrong, but a little wrong he did. What did he do? He did something which violates the basic halacha, which no one understands. The basic halacha is that piece doesn't belong to you. That is hefka. It's hefka laniyim. You have no control over it. Exercise control over it. You're violating the basic premise of the mitzvah of peah, leket shikro peah. What it's telling you is that God didn't give you all that for yourself. It doesn't belong to you. He gave you only 90%. Or in this case, pay is only a 60th of the field, right? He didn't give you 1.7%. Doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. You can't be a ganef and steal from God. He didn't give you that part. He gave it to the aniyim. Therefore, if you exercise control over it by saying, I know what I'm going to do, I can leave payer, means leave over. Why must I leave over here on this corner? I leave over in the middle. I harvest all the way around. I leave over a big hole in the middle equal to the sheer payer. And I call up my brother who's a poor man and say, Yankel, I'm leaving over the payer tomorrow. Make sure you get him early. You did nothing wrong. You didn't take it for yourself. Your brother is a poor man. You gave it to him. Come on, what's so terrible? But you behaved like a balabos over the field. You're a balabais. You decided and didn't make a deal with your brother and so on and so forth. That violates it. That's called gezel aniyim. You're stealing from the aniyim.
Could that still be done even if he made the phone call the day before he left the payout on the corners?
No, you see why. Because the aniyim, it's a business. You can't be an aniyim without being a good businessman. They know, they watch the fields. Every morning, they check the fields. So when it's the corner of a field, that's easy. The whole field is cut down, and then there's a big stand of wheat there in the corner of the field. You can see it a mile away.
The first ani that gets it, no one else could start harvesting.
He can
that.
Take as much as he wants until he gets 200 zuz. Until he accumulates 200 zuz, then he's an osher. He's no longer an ani. He can't take after that.
But no one else could come.
If you're a real mamza, and you have an ani whom you don't like, you check up on his checking account, which you can do, and he has 199 zuz, and it's now harvest time. He has 199 zuz in the bank, therefore he can go to the field that year and collect as much as he can. So you're a nice fellow, you walk over to him and give him a present of one zuz. He's finished.
Is the ani allowed to sell the produce that he collects?
Ani shows up with his 12 children, right? And that's like a locust attack. It's a makasarbe.
Can more than one person take from a field? Can more than one ani take from a field?
Murder on the floor. They all come. You're soon going to read Megillah's Rus. Yeah, talk there, that's what we're talking about. She was picking up leket. What's leket? Leket is three, if it's three together, three stalks of wheat together, it's not leket. It has to be one or two. Then she can pick up one or two. Three together is still the balabos. What shikha? Shikha refers to already bundled wheat. And he makes a pass through the field. And one bundle was lying down, he missed it. He can't go back. So you can't go back and pick it up. You leave it alone. And the aniyim will come and pick it.
What is 200 zuz equivalent to in our time?
I really don't know really what the zuz is, but
Chagdad Yahi bought for three zuz?
In the Ksuba, right, you have the same zuz. Yeah. which my Shreel Zatzal held was 100 pounds of silver. 100 pounds of silver was once $8,000-$9,000. Today, I understand, it's closer to $35,000-$40,000. The silver just went crazy. I'm seeing written on it, I don't know how accurate it is, that the chesed was for a woman to be able to live a whole year without need for outside help.
She herself without having to provide for the children. She herself without.
But it depends where you go. The Satmar Bezdin, when they award the ksubah to the woman after the divorce, for years they were calling the value $300. For a woman, it's plenty enough. From Cherokee Mount said, you make a cheshbon from Pidyon HaBein, and some, he made his cheshbon, it's 100 pounds of silver. When I saw the Kedushin, I see that the Chosses Tish, you spell it out. And I look up at what the money is, what the value of a silver, what ounce of silver is, right? And you tell them, because the Chosses has to know what he's getting into. Even though when we swallow that, it means the Shema Ksuba will never be activated. But in a very strange takonas chachamim, at the simcha, waiting to talk about, right, what will be if you drop dead or divorce your wife. It's a nice topic to talk about at the chosid sish. Chachamim felt it is. Okay, next. Finish it off. So what? One, because of Gezla need. He shouldn't what? Go ahead and set it up so that a relative can get it all. Next, it may Beetle Aniyim. What's Beetle Aniyim? Poor Aniyim. When you go ahead and you harvest a field and leave me over one stand, if I go ahead and leave over as payer something in the middle of the field, and around the field I didn't finish cutting even. I go and I'll put stones around it. This is my payout. Right? How will they find it? They have to go ahead and examine every few hours, run out and see who left some pay in the middle of his field. That's Beetle on the spend the whole day you're running around in fields to try to catch somebody's payer. If it's the end of the field, it's easy to find. Then, mitnei hachshad. Right? What's hachshad? There. People who don't see where he left the payer will be choshed that he didn't leave any payer, even though he did. And the last one, mishum bal tchala, right? So that someone shouldn't cheat and say, I left over payer, and someone took it already. It's left in the middle of the field. Right. But if he leaves over payer at the end of the field, that everyone can see that he left over payer. He says, what? Shumbet yezalaniyim shuyir balabayis shopnuyo liyoma likovo onaya reza payer. Bitlaniyim shuyaniyim yoshim umashamrin akshav meniyach balabayis payer. Right. Mevnechshad, so you over the shav and omrim tovo ma'orol adam shalir peyah besadeyu. May he drop dead, a curse should fall upon him. This fellow is a big, rich, no good nick, he won't even leave over a little bit of peyah. And for the guy, he did leave over peyah in the middle of the field, he left over plenty of peyah. Umushum bal techale, right? And so that he should not, right, be mechale, meaning not give payer. That's what you mean, the posuk. It says pa'as, the edge of your field. No. I'm talking about people who be cheating, who say they left pay and didn't leave pay. I don't know where, they say, yeah, they left it. I gave already. Okay. It's lately slow going, but this is important stuff. Try tomorrow, maybe zoop a little bit, get a little bit done. Nice to finish the second page before the term is over.
When do we end?
Huh?
When do we end shir?
End shir for a few days towards the last week in. Actually, what I know where I can tell you, because I have Sheba got me real indecent to them, but I'm speaking for them on Tuesday the 17th. So Tuesday the 17th, I won't be in class. I'll be back on the 18th, but on Pesach training. But I believe that's final week. That's supposed to be off. Okay. And have the next that week, that most likely the last day will be Monday the 16th. Yeah. And then you have this almost 2 weeks of hiatus, and then we have Shurim again the month of June. There is a possibility, I think necessary. Often in the month of June, I often change the Masechta, learn something else, but I don't see any reason to change the Masechta.
Resuming June 1st?
Huh?
Resuming June 1st?
Yeah.
So Wednesday?
Most likely, what are we up to? There, if you have, what are we resuming? Yeah. Yes, let me just see. Finally, yeah, two weddings on the 30th. President Joel is marrying off a son. And one of my choshev of Alabatim marrying off a grandson. But since the president signs my checks, I go to Joel.
Are the Rosh Hashiva going?
Simple. Yes. Wednesday the 1st is Yom Yerushalayim. We may have some celebration that day, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't
No, we have.
We'll probably still share.
But what? You have Yom Ha'atzmaut. When's Yom Ha'atzmaut?
Monday.
Huh?
Monday.
This
coming Monday.
This coming Monday.
We have class on Monday?
Let's see, 1 minute.
Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday then. Tomorrow's Aleph.
Which calendar you are?
Oh yeah, got a problem. Monday the 9th, we have in our community.
Hey,
yeah,
all right.
Well, but I have
application.
But I have classes. Yes. We're not celebrating Monday night. Here you have Yom HaShoah. It's Tuesday the 10th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
timing is perfect. Let it roll. Oh,
so
many years at a level doesn't.
Right, as I was going to say.